Testing 1, 2, 3.
You need it closer.
Okay, swallow it. There we go. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the park. We're glad that you're here. What a beautiful day, isn't it? Amen. Yes, we are have gathered to worship and to fellowship together and picnic here following, and so we're glad you're here on this day. That we can praise the Lord. And we just want to take a moment here to check on any announcements. You'll see these on the back of your bulletin. Next Sunday, we'll have Brother Paul Schultz. He'll be here to preach. This afternoon at 3 o'clock at Antietam, if anyone's interested, there's always a worship service once a year conducted by the brethren in the Dunkard Church there on the battlefield. And that will begin at 3 o'clock. Gene Hegenberger is the speaker this year. This is the 54th annual service that they've had there. So it's always a wonderful time. The Bible is brought over from the museum and displayed there in the church during the service as well. And so people dress up too as old-time Dunkards did. Always looking forward to an opportunity to worship the Lord. So this is a good chance if you want to make the drive over there this afternoon. Heifer Project collection is continuing through the end of the month. Any other announcements? Yes, Danny.
Not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we will have the Bible study. We have moved the time to 5 o'clock. Okay.
Okay, great. All right, thank you. Bible study at 5. Any other announcements? And Jerry, do we have a prelude?
No.
Okay. So let's have the call to worship, and it comes from Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful day that we can gather together to worship you and your creation. And Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would come and be present among us. We ask, Father, that your will would be done, and it's all said and spoken here today. Would be pleasing in your sight. And so, Lord, have your way this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll sing our first song here today. It's a hymn, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. It's number 546. It's on your song sheets as number 1. And please stand and join me as we sing.
Everybody get a song sheet back there. Tune in my head.
To sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'Tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb. Your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye laid for joy.
Amen. You may be seated. We take time to ask God's blessing on our offering. We have an offering box there in the back if you care to contribute. And we are grateful for all that comes in to support the work of the kingdom here on the Ridge. And so the call to giving comes from Psalms 22:25. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. So let's ask God's blessing on our offering. God in heaven, we know that all that we have, all that we are, life itself, the breath in our lungs, comes from you. And we're grateful, Father, for the many ways that you have blessed us. We are so blessed to live in this country and have the freedoms that we have, the opportunities that we have, that others do not have such security. And so, Lord, we are grateful and we ask that you would bless the offerings that have come in, Lord. We pray that you would continue to use them mightily for the work of the kingdom. We pray that you would bless the work that's taking place on our building. And we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to move mightily, that we might be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. And so bless these offerings. Help those leaders make wise decisions in the use and disbursement of them. And help our giving, Lord, to touch hearts and lives around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Sharing of joys and concerns. We want to take an opportunity here to hear from you what's on your heart today and what we can be praying for. Yes, Danny?
Peter's family and my neighbors, Will and Sandra.
Okay. Will and Sandra are their neighbors. Also, we want... We want to keep Ronnie and Nancy in our thoughts and prayers as well, especially Nancy this week. Others?
We want to keep my wife in our prayers. She was up all night last night with pain. She didn't get to sleep until about 5 o'clock this morning, so that's why she's not here.
Yeah.
And yet everybody else in our church and throughout the whole world.
Amen. Any others? Yes, Bob.
We'd like to ask God for his blessings upon our elections coming up in due time, and that many hearts would be turned to the way that God would allow us to go and what he would have us to do, that his journey for us and for each and every one would be to draw closer to him. And we'd just like to him, for him to keep an eye on each and every one of the electioneers, wherever it might be, and that it would come out peacefully and no fraudulent action or anything like that. And like Frank said, continue to bless this church, you and Pat, and the ministry we have here at our church. It's just, well, it's just rewarding in all fashions, and we just thank each and every one for coming out and supporting us here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Any others? Pat?
Safe
travels for us. We are going to venture to Chicago for the first time. We will be leaving on Thursday, early Thursday morning, and we'll be out coming back then on Tuesday. So we won't be in the area. Appreciate your prayers for us as we visit our son.
Florida.
She told me, but I couldn't.
Let's continue to keep the Moser family in prayer. And it's a joy to have everyone come out today on this beautiful day. We all can continue to fellowship after the service.
Thank you.
And then some unspoken requests as well.
Okay. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, how good it is for brethren to be together, to dwell in unity. How good it is to be out here in the open, to feel the breeze, and to enjoy the cooler temperatures of fall. We thank you, Lord, for the beauty of fall, the flowers, the pumpkins that we're beginning to see. We're grateful for the fall decorations and all that is around us to remind us of the beauty that you have given to us. Lord, we are mindful as gardens are harvested and crops are brought in of the bounty that we have, and we are grateful, Lord. We do pray, Lord, that you would continue to hear the requests that have been shared here by name. We pray for these folks, Lord, that you would touch each situation, meet each need, comfort each heart, heal each body. We pray, Father, that you might have your way and your will would be done. We pray for our country, Lord, and its leaders. We pray for folks to have wisdom in the elections, that elections would go smoothly, transition of power would be smooth, and we just pray, Father, you would help those that are put into office to make wise decisions. So surround them, Lord, with wise counselors and good advice for the days ahead. We pray, Father, for our brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing persecution of some kind. Lord, where there's war, we pray that you would bring peace. Where there's famine, Lord, we pray you provide food. Where there is distress, Lord, would you have your way. Meet each need, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for your church. We thank you for our church here on the Ridge. We ask, Lord, that you move mightily in the body of Christ in these last days. And so, Father, show yourself strong as the darkness seems to overwhelm us. Lord, we pray that light would continue to shine. And just as a candle shines in the darkness and lights up the room, Lord, we pray that the light of Christ would continue to go forth and draw others to the good news of Jesus Christ. God, for those who are planning surgery this week, Lord, we pray for skill for the doctors and nurses that will care for them, and for healing and for follow-up. We just ask, Lord, you would comfort those who have lost loved ones. God, you are good. We pray that you would continue to help us to share with those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Pray as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. From thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right. And so then we'll have our second hymn here, also found on your song sheet.
All those who can stand, please. 321. I was sinking deep with sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the seas heard my despairing cry. From the water sifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me.
So true, merits my soul's best songs, faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. Nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
You may be seated. The scripture that I've chosen for today comes from James chapter 3. You have it in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. It is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures have been tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olive or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we pause in your presence again to ask that the blessing of your grace would be upon us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. I've been thinking a lot about words lately. School is back in session. Politicians are out on the stump trails. And we have a number of new Spanish-speaking employees at work. Often very interesting conversations sometimes with them. And I was wondering, you know, have you ever thought about English? It is not the most easiest language to learn. And so with Pat's help here, we're going to do something a little differently today. We're going to show you some words and just to kind of think about our language. The first word, consider this. The farm was cultivated to produce produce. Next word. To help with planting, the farmer taught his sow to sow seeds. We must polish the Polish furniture purchased at the store. The soldier decided to desert his tasty dessert in the desert. There was a row among the oarsmen about who would row. The wind was too strong to wind the sail around the mast. A bass was painted on the head of the bass drum. Upon seeing the tear in the painting, she shed a tear. Oh, sorry, I said it wrong. Upon seeing the tear in the painting, she shed a tear. And they were too close to the door to close it. Just some examples of our language. Now, if you've been to various parts of the country, you know people have an accent and they speak different slangs and things that like that. And my wife, she likes to tease me about being from another state. And so there's certain words that we like to use and pronounce up there. And if you're from Pennsylvania, you might refer to the state as PA. That's spelled P-E-E-A-Y, PA. you always refer to Philadelphia as Philly, and New Jersey has always been Jersey. A perfectly acceptable reference to a group of men and women is you-uns, or you guys. And do you know how to respond to this question? Did you yet? Did you yet? Did you eat yet? The one that I always get caught on is we're going to red up the kitchen. We're going to red up the basement. We're going to get rid of things. At the restaurant, when you order breakfast, you usually ask the waitress for dippy eggs or for lunch, a hoagie. And in thinking about winter, driving in winter in Pennsylvania, it's always better because the potholes are filled in with snow. Well, around Frederick, I noticed some of the locals also have some slang. They refer to Route 15 as the highway or the bypass. And we also had what we called the circuit. That was a trip around downtown Frederick on a Friday or Saturday night. Now I'm going to have some fun with you since we're in a more relaxed setting. And this is probably going to be the only time ever that you're going to get to stick out your tongue at me. And so I want everyone to stick out your tongue on the count of three. One, two, three. All right. Good job. Some of those are longer than others. I don't know. Well, in preparing for today, I wanted to use the International Lectionary Scripture. And I tend to try to pick sermons that I haven't preached so much before on that particular topic. And this portion was James's letter. And I noticed, looking back, that I've only preached on this once or twice, and it was a slightly different topic that I used. And so I was thinking about this scripture and words in general. And I remembered that I had a track from South Day's Ministries, Last Day's Ministries, and I have a track here. And it's entitled Taming the Tongue. And it was written by Leonard Ravenhill. And I've saved this all these years because I like the pictures in it. And so with Pat and Ethan's help, we were able to make copies of some of the pictures for you. And she's going to pass those out to you right now. The evangelist in this track is Leonard Ravenhill, and he lived from 1907 to 1944, and he was a British Christian evangelist. He was born in Leeds, UK, and later lived in Lyndale, Texas. And he was best known for challenging Western evangelicalism to compare itself to the early church, as chronicled in the book of Acts. He wrote a number of books, and I brought three that I have. These are really great reads. If you want your toes stepped on, Why Revival Tarries, Revival Praying, and Revival God's Way. Very interesting reads. And I thought, he's probably best known for his preaching on prayer and revival. And I found out during a little research on him that it is said that he prayed 8 hours a day and oftentimes would preach twice on Sunday. Sometimes during revivals he would preach each evening for sometimes two times, but he always spent a lot of time in prayer. And this particular track came out from Last Days Ministries, and it just highlights, I'm a visual learner, I like graphic, and so you can see here on your sheet that in Taming the Tongue here, he's compared it to a circus guy, a handler, who is trying to tame a wild beast, a lion, is kind of the image here of the tongue, trying to keep it in check. On the other image, you'll see the Western scene. The tongue is a bronco horse needing a saddle or reins to control it and to guide it. And then on the third picture, you'll see the scene of the mouth, and the tongue is surrounded by teeth that are standing at attention to guard it, to keep it in check. And so I thought these are really interesting images, and maybe you can relate to them as well. Now, growing up, one of the things I remember my folks were saying, they would, if we said something that was a little colorful, they would say, if you say that again, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. Did you ever have that? You ever get that one? Also, maybe there's some other sayings that you might have heard. Watch your mouth, keep your tongue between your teeth. Think twice before you speak once. Bite your tongue. That's a good one. I didn't have. I'll have to write that one down. probably the classic comes from Bambi. You remember Thumper? The classic line Thumper had, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say nothing at all. That was always good advice. Well, the tongue probably has done more damage than any other part of the human body. And the Bible refers to it as a sword. Sword can cut, and sometimes we say things that are very cutting. Sometimes we, if we get mad, we can let loose, and sometimes it's a little bit not under control. Once they said that a long tongue shortens friendships. A long tongue shortens friendships. And someone else has said that if you keep your tongue a prisoner, your body will go free. Proverbs says, and I think this is a very good one to memorize and remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We also know and remember that the Bible says that one day we will answer to God for every word that we say. I don't know about you, but I might be in trouble. As I think back over the sermons and the funeral messages and the weddings and the Bible studies I've done over a 40-year period, brother, you can relate to this, right? I've said a lot of words in my lifetime. Now, they say that the average person speaks 15,000 to 16,000 words a day. That's a lot. Someone has calculated that in your lifetime, you will speak 860,341,500 words. That's 14 times the entire 20 volumes of Oxford English Dictionary. in your lifetime. Ladies, I'm sorry to tell you, but it's been confirmed. Women speak more than men. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but some guys speak as low as 2,000 to 3,000 words a day, as high as 6,000 to 7,000 words a day. On the average, women speak 10,000 to 20,000 words a day. Now, I had in my last congregation over 750 sermons. Here at Monocacy, I've had over 400 sermons, not to count Young Life, the Deaf Fellowship messages, and the Church of the Brethren Youth Fellowship lessons that I've had over the years. So I don't know how many words that I've spoken. But we do know that God knows all the numbers, the hairs on our head, right? And so I'm sure he knows how many words we've spoken in our lifetime as well. Needless to say, our tongues have been quite busy. The Bible mentions many kinds of tongues, and it seems that some wag more than others. Just as a dog wags its tail, some have wagged in not such great ways. There is scripture in the Psalms and in the Proverbs. It says that there are different kinds of tongues, like the flattering tongue, the proud tongue, the lying tongue, the deceitful tongue, the perverted tongue, the soothing tongue, and the healing tongue, the destructive tongue, the backbiting tongue, the mischievous and wicked tongue, and the soft tongue. These are just some of the references to tongues in the scriptures. We know that the tongue is the showcase of the heart. What is in the heart oftentimes comes out of the mouth. So today we just kind of want to focus a little bit on some of the ugly speeches that we have in our vocabulary. There is the thing that we call gossip. Easy, fluent, trivial talk. Talk about people behind their backs. Talk that's idle. Chatter, especially about people, is how Webster puts it. They say a rolling stone gathers no moss, but a rolling story certainly gathers a new, fresh truth every time it's told. There's a story about three ministers. Maybe you've heard it. It's told in little different ways each time, but three ministers from different faith traditions met at a cafe once, and they were talking about their work and kind of bragging about their ministries and stuff. And then finally one of them said, you know, we really never get a chance to let our hair down. Really, you know, why don't we open up with each other? Why don't we share a struggle that we each face so we can pray for each other? Well, they all thought that was a great idea. And so the first one said, well, I hate to admit it, but I have an addiction to gambling. I like to sneak out sometimes at night to play poker or go to the casino. The second one says, I have to admit that I'm not honest with my taxes. I try to cheat the government out of paying my full amount. And then the third one sat there quietly with no response, and so the other one started to kind of egg him on and coax him to share and to open up and tell what's something that he's struggling with. And finally said, okay, well, my area of weakness is the sin of gossip, and I just can't wait to get out of here to tell somebody what I just heard. Well, gossip is a problem. It is also sarcasm. Sarcasm is a cruelly humorous statement or remark made about with the intention of injuring the self-respect of the person to whom it is addressed, usually by drawing attention to one of his or her weaknesses and often associated with irony. Sarcasm. I think that's one I have to watch. And then there's also irony. Irony is a manner of speaking or writing in which the meaning literally expressed is the opposite of the meaning intended, and which aims at ridicule, humor, or sarcasm. Slander, any false or insulting statement, oral statement, which without due cause has the result or is intended to have the result of bringing its subject into disrepute. There's also the course of lying. And when I think of lying, I think of the story my mother used to tell family and friends. She enjoyed sharing this with others. We lived on a road, and we had fields on both sides of the road, and it was in the fall, early fall, and we had corn out along the road. And as Mom had gone to town for something, was coming back, she noticed a car that was pulled off the side of the road, and there was a lady coming out of the cornfield with her handful of corn. Well, you know, if you pick corn early, field corn early, you can eat it. And so Mom stopped and said, "Hey, that looks like really nice corn." And she said, "Yes, it is." She said, "If you'd like some, you can. I talked to the lady at the farmhouse, and you can have some if you like." And Mom said, "You're a liar. I'm the lady in the farmhouse, and you didn't talk to me." Well, there's also angry words, and we often, I think, get ourselves into trouble with these. There was a poem here in the track. It goes like this. It says, "Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. With the soul's best impulse, ever check them ere they soil the lips. Angry words are quickly spoken. Bitter thoughts are rashly stirred. Fondest links of life are broken by a single angry word." Angry words. I grew up hearing angry words. And so they take their toll on those, not just those, the people that say them, but also on those that hear them. Now, the writer of our scripture today is James, the brother of Jesus. And he wrote about the danger here of an untamed tongue. I wonder, what would James say today if he see our world? You know, man has been able to conquer so much. We've been able to control a lot. We've been able to build great things. What would James say? We've put astronauts into tin cans and shot them into space. They walked on the moon. They walk around in space, and then we bring them back to Earth again. We've put sailors into steel cans, submarines, to explore the oceans. We put fancy cans in orbit, satellites, to bounce off our communications for TV, GPS, and cell phones. We've put reflected cans in the fields to harness the power of the sun for electricity. We've put dams on rivers to turn great giant cans, turbines, for more power to run our way of life. We put up tall cans, skyscrapers, and cities for housing and for people for to have a place to work. And we have done so much in the area of technology and medicine, and yet we can't seem to bridle this. It's still untamable, isn't it? Just think about the number of words that you've heard recently in politics, in professional life, in our personal lives. What would James say about all of that? Well, Charles Stanley says that none of us has become perfect. None of us does everything right. None of us is so wise that we always speak the right word and so strong that we always do the right thing. He says, remembering this keeps us humble. We should remember to be humble. And Charles Stanley also says that James does not mean to glorify the power of the tongue, but rather he wants to show how even a very small part of the body remains out of our control so long as we try to control it in our own strength. It's an untamable thing in our own strength. Sometimes we want some words to say, especially at a funeral. Oftentimes people will say, "Well, what do you say when someone's passed away? What do you say at the funeral?" And it's not so much what you say, it's just your presence being there. There was a story that Leonard Ravenhill tells in the track about a bunch of sobbing teenagers. They were at a mother's funeral, and their kids, her kids, were just crying and wailing and just going on about the loss of their mother. And Leonard Ravenhill asked the senior pastor, "They must have really loved their mother." And he said, "No, quite the contrary." He said, "They gave her such a fit. They would speak ugly words to her and talk back, and they were just so abusive to her." And he said, their tears and their emotion is remorse. I came across this poem once that I like to use. And I'm going to grab that water from you, hon.
Excuse me a second.
I like to use this poem. I think it says a lot. It's very short. The difference between pleasure and sorrow. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all that she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. So what do we do about this thing? What do we do with that? It's a problem for all of us, isn't it? Some ways that you can keep your tongue in check, try to keep it tamed, is first of all to think before we speak, right? And there's an acronym for that. To ask yourself, T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? Another thing that we can do is to remember to hold our speech sometimes. I like think about the movie The Wizard of Oz. Remember that one? And in there's a scene where Annie M. is upset that Almira Gulch has come to take Toto away from Dorothy, and Dorothy's upset. And Annie M. says to her, "Almira Gulch, just because you're in half the county doesn't mean that you have the power to run the rest of us. For 23 years, I've been dying to tell you what I thought of you, and now, well, being a Christian woman, I can't say it." Maybe that's some good advice for us as well. Another thing that we can do, an important thing, is to memorize some scriptures. And so I have another handout for you. Pat's going to share that with you. And there are 12 verses here. I'd like for you to pick a couple. If you'd like to memorize all 12, that would be great. You know, we challenge our kids, Sunday school class, to have a memory verse, and they come up and share that with us. And so what's good is for the goose is good for the gander, right? And so if we challenge our kids to memorize scripture, we should also challenge ourselves as well. And so here's a couple of verses you can post on your refrigerator and maybe kind of keep those in mind this week and see if you can memorize a couple of those. But I think it would be good for us to do that. And as we have maybe can do things a little differently from being inside the sanctuary, when she gets those handed out, I'd like for you to read over those with me. So we're going to read those together. The 12 tongue tamers. All right, I think everyone's got a script, got a paper now. Okay. Would you read with me as we go over these? Number one, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of wisdom. the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. All right. So some good challenges from the Word of God for us today. Another thing that you can do is to be held accountable. And so, you know, we have the kids come forward and repeat their verse in front of everyone. And so you can maybe pick a spouse or pick a small group, Bible study group, or someone, hey, would you hear my Bible verse that I memorized and share your verse with them. And, of course, most of all, to pray for God's help through the Holy Spirit to control our tongues. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And so the tongue is the showcase of what is in our hearts. And we need to pray that God will help us to say what is on our hearts in love and in truth. You know, very soon it's going to be the High Holy Days. They begin this year in the beginning of October. And the fall feasts, the Jewish fall feasts, are a kind of a prefigure, or they are a foreshadowing of Jesus' return. We look forward to his coming very soon. And so oftentimes we think that it could be during Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur or Shavuot, the Feast of Tabernacles. And so we want to pray that we'll be ready. There is a time to speak, and we should not be silent when it comes to sharing the good news with those around us. But there is also reason to hold our tongues. And I'm saying these words not to point any finger at anyone, because when I point a finger, there's three more pointing back at me. So I'm sharing this message for myself, and you get a chance to hear it. We want to be wise in the words that we speak and share the good news with others. And so God, help us to tame our tongues. Amen?
Amen.
Would you pray with me, please? Lord, would you teach us to hold our tongues? Teach us to do as the psalmist says, to set a watch at the door of our lips, that our speech may always be seasoned with grace. We know as Christians we reflect your glory, and so help us to do your will. We pray that our tongues would never be used as swords to cut someone down, but that our speech would be uplifting, edifying, and that which glorifies you. And so tame our tongues, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll close our service here with the third song. Brother Jerry here is going to come and share with us. And then we invite you to stay for lunch. I'm sure we have plenty. So if you didn't bring something, please still stay.
Promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Your lips, O kind, arise, sinless to see. The great example is the pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is the pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way, where he leads, I'll follow. follow Jesus every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and the soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and